All right, folks, we had to get him back on, and we need to clap it up for this man. Howie, Alex Howard has been an absolute beast all year on the LCFP. Howie, you've been on Washington since day one. You've been on the Penix train since day one. You have been on Kalen DeBoer's train since day one, and we want to give you all the credit in the world here from the LCFP Nation to say, bro, you deserve this. Even if Washington loses in the Natty, you have talked about them all year. You had them beating Oregon both games. I mean, bro, mad respect. Howie, shout out. Thanks for jumping on to talk all things Washington.
Laner, it's good to be here, and we're gonna do this one for the YouTube folks. We're gonna do a little quiver, a little bow and arrow for Penix.
Yes, sir.
The dude's just been electric. Washington's been amazing. They have weapons all over the place, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I got to give you a ton of credit. This is a team that everybody seemed to overlook. Most people, even going into conference championship weekend, after all year, Penix has shown us that he can throw absolute dots. I think they have the best receivers in the country. Kalen DeBoer is a winner, four-time NAIA champion, just won at every level. They've got the current largest, longest winning streak in NCAA football, right? I think they're approaching 30 game win streak. I mean, they are just balling out right now. And of course, they're playing a very good opponent in Michigan, but you have stayed the course with them. Even going into conference championship weekend, everyone was saying Oregon's going to win. They get their second chance. That first win was a fluke. Dan Lanning was too aggressive with the play calling. They went for it on fourth too many times. You've stuck with them. What have you seen in Washington that's made them so special this year?
Yeah, I mean, ever since week 10, when the first college football ranking came out and they put Washington at 5 and Florida State above them, I just felt like this team had been undervalued the entire year. The numbers that Michael Penix has continued to put up, I don't care who the Pac-12 opponent was, I don't care who their non-conference opponent was, it has been consistent, it has been exciting, it has been energetic. They have done it on both ends of the field when they need to. As you saw with that last defensive pass breakup against Texas to win it, they just get it done when it needs to be done. They find the play when they need to make a play. Penix has been one of the best, just letting it fly. I mean, I don't know another quarterback in the league, NFL. I don't NFL NCAA that can throw a ball like that to a receiver that doesn't look open. I mean, those receivers are hip to hip with a defender. And that thing has dropped in a bucket, and it hasn't been. It's not just like he's come on of late. I mean, Penix has done this week after week, and if you look at, some people were iffy on him after Utah and Oregon State, a close one against Oregon State, Washington State too as well. And there's might be talks that maybe Penix wasn't healthy. I know there's talks about maybe a rib injury and a potential broken rib. And those are stuff you don't know. I mean, if he's on an injury report or he's not out, you don't necessarily know that. He could have just been playing through it. I think he's got the toughness, the mental toughness, the physical
Yeah.
toughness, and it's not just him, it's everybody on the team.
Absolutely. Man, you talk about some of those throws and man, the aggressive play calling all year. A lot of people just watched this semifinal game and they're looking at Kalen DeBoer going, "Why are you passing the ball with 4 minutes left in the lead?" Dude, they've played that way all year. They've trusted Michael Penix Jr. It's not conventional to pass the ball at the end of the game, but they've got the advantage. They've got a top-tier quarterback, a guy who I think is soaring up the draft boards right now. And I think they have the best receiving core in the country. And you talk about those passes. How about that pass with about 4 minutes left down the sideline? Drop that ball in a bucket. I mean, Howie, that pass was sick, no?
I mean, it's perfect on the dot. It's just one of those you're waiting for him to make a mistake. You're waiting for something just to happen where it's like, oh, that was the fourth shot right there to bring Texas back into this game. And it just never happened. I mean, Texas defenders were just, I mean, they couldn't get their head around fast enough, and that ball was there. And we talked about him dropping the ball in the bucket. I watched plenty of highlights today as I was watching the Pat McAfee show. Like, they were showing highlights. I mean, he's throwing slant routes in between two defenders on a dime, like right now. And it's quick. It's like 100 miles an hour right at the chest plate. Like, if you don't catch it, that thing's bouncing back to the line of scrimmage. And it's just the consistent play. And, Michael Lombardi, who was a former NFL GM, was on Pat McAfee's show, and he was talking about Pettix as well. And he's like, he's a little stiff, maybe in the lower body, but it doesn't take away at all from the arm talent and the ability just to put it right there. And he's talking like he should be a top two, top three quarterback in this draft, and
Wow.
should be right up there with, Caleb Williams and Drake May.
Oh, yeah. Clearly a very special quarterback class right now. I mean, you didn't even mention a guy like Jaden Daniels either. I mean, and Michael Penix, I think any other year, Michael Penix is like the clear number one in the class, or at least up there in the top two. Special class. And man, let's just talk for a second about the appreciation we have for the state of college football. I mean, those semifinal games were phenomenal. We get two games coming down to the wire, coming down to the last play. I mean, we are blessed as college football fans to get to watch that. And that was unbelievable football, man. And I want to give a shout out to JJ McCarthy as well. I was a guy who was like, hey, he hasn't had to prove it. He's been able to rely on the defense in the run game. Man, Michigan made a couple iffy calls, that throwback play. And dude, he was an athlete. He goes up over his head with that one-handed snag, gathers his feet, throws it downfield. I mean, that was unbelievable, Howie. This is amazing, the quarterback play. And I know that Quinn Ewers and Jalen Milroe are kicking themselves and they miss some opportunities. But man, all around, all four of those guys, phenomenal college football quarterbacks. So fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think overall the quarterbacks that won, I mean, they also had to overcome some adversity in those games as well. I felt like both teams that had won, Michigan and Washington respectively, they made some special teams errors in that game that really kind of put themselves in a tight spot, and their defense stood up, and then their offense was able to go down the field and make a play. I think about Alabama getting the ball back, scoring, taking the lead, and then there's not much time left. There's like 4 or 5 minutes left in that game, and it's time to put a drive together right now. And JJ McCarthy was able to do that, make huge throws. I mean, there were a couple passes there in that last drive for Michigan that I thought were for sure gonna sail a receiver, pick, just game over. Nick
Yep.
Saban waltzes to another championship, but McCarthy made plays, his receivers made plays, that O line held up, and like you said, it was funny because I didn't get to go to bed till like 1 or 1:30
Yeah.
because that Washington game went so late. But it was like, I'm okay with that. I'm just blessed to be able to watch all these teams just go get after it.
Yeah. There's not many times we're sending text after midnight, but you and I were firing them back and forth at each other. I mean, that was a treat as a purely college football fan. That was phenomenal. Now, one of the things that I talked about a lot last episode, and I've been pretty vocal on our YouTube page as well, and I know you and I have had conversations about this, Howie, is the playoff format going into next year. What few people realize is, and they're trying their best, man. I appreciate ESPN and Fox and CBS. They're trying their best to show, hey, if this were a 12-team playoff format, here's what the projected bracket would be. What people don't realize is if you take into account these conference realignments and changes, that Michigan and Washington are both going to be in the Big Ten next year. Like, huge win for the Big Ten. Alabama and Texas are both going to be in the SEC next year. So when they show those four teams having first round byes, it actually wouldn't be the case. Only two of those teams would have first round byes. And then a team like Arizona would be, if they won the Big 12, would be not just sneaking in at the 12 spot, but they would be getting a first round bye. Are we really okay with that moving forward? Because what I see in the new landscape of football is more of a super two. I think the Big Ten is the big winners, man. Getting a USC, a UCLA, huge brand football names. I know they were down this year, but I think they'll be back. And then a Washington and Oregon programs that are on the rise and I believe here to stay. If DeBoer and man, if he sticks around and if Dan Lanning sticks around, those are programs here to stay. And obviously the SEC getting two huge brands in Texas and Oklahoma. Are we really okay with a lot of those playoff slots being filled up by teams outside of those conferences? What are your thoughts, Howie?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that, and honestly, like as soon as the game concluded on Saturday night, I was like, or on New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, excuse me, I was like, man, these are two Big Ten teams next year, that are in the championship, which is pretty cool for the Big Ten Conference, a conference near and dear to my heart. But you know, I looked up and down this list of the final 12 teams that would have been in there, and knowing that a lot of them would have played each other during the regular season, because now they're going to be in the same conference, or they would have played each other in a conference championship if they had the similar records like they do now. And I think it kind of goes back to maybe like an Alabama Georgia sense, where like they have these incredible, you know, seasons. Georgia's undefeated. Alabama just has a one blemish against Texas in an early game. And they play for a conference championship. You know, do you put them over maybe like a one or two loss Florida State team in the ACC if they win the championship? Like, I think the committee also made a statement by leaving Florida State on the outside of like, conference doesn't necessarily, it's not the end all be all, right?
Right.
Florida State was undefeated and a conference championship, and they still left them out because of, you know, having the missing quarterback, but then just not having the resume. And I know a lot of the Florida State fans aren't very happy about that, and they I saw plenty of stuff during that Michigan Alabama game
Oh,
about
yeah.
how these offenses aren't good enough. Florida State could have hung with any of these teams, and maybe that would have been true with a full, you know, with a full team. But obviously, their, you know, opt outs or no opt outs, their effort against Georgia was not it in that bowl game. So I think the committee's talking about the right things when they get together. You know, as much as I dogged him for keeping Washington on the outside looking in, you know, in those first couple of weeks, they let it play out, right? So week 10, week 11, week 12, week 13, all that stuff, you just let it play out. Let it play out. Because one of these teams is going to lose. One of the, you know, there's going to be some shuffle. Now with the 12 team, when you start looking down the list, I think there's going to be a lot more discussion. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's going to have to be had. You know, do you take a two loss Ole Miss team that continues to just lose two games to, you know, Georgia and Alabama or whatever, if they lose to Texas and Alabama or, you know, whatever, or a team like LSU who ended 13 and had, you know, incredible talent all over the place, and lost to, you know, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Like, I think with Jaden Daniels, I think they should have been the 12 seed if it was a 12 team playoff. I would have loved to have seen that, right?
Wow, yeah.
I just think conversation like that is it'll help. It'll help with the opt outs. It'll help with it'll just help with the overall aspect of this whole college football playoff of just like, okay, now we're not necessarily worried about conferences and whatever, just eye test.
Yep.
Like, eye test. Well, here's all the factors. What are we like? What is it?
Definitely. Howie, that's some good stuff. And let's go full circle here, too. I gave you credit for being on the Penix train and the Washington train all year, but you also believe that Michael Penix Jr. should have been the Heisman this year. You bring up a guy's name like Jaden Daniels, you bring up an LSU. At the end of the day, they were a three-loss team. They were on the outside of the playoff. And Michael Penix was in the playoff, and he won in big fashion. I think that he had the third best performance as a quarterback behind only Joe Burrow and Mac Jones, was it? Or maybe Kyler Murray? I mean, he was phenomenal. Do you think that they need to change when you vote for the Heisman Trophy? Do you think that should be a after the season award, not just after conference championship weekend? Because I believe, like, my mind was made up, I would go with Daniels after that last game. My vote would have been for Penix. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's kind of tough, because you know, I get wanting to have all of your awards done before kind of your main event, but I also believe that Penix put a good enough resume together during the season to get the Heisman. Like, I was kind of having a conversation with one of my buddies about this too. Like, winning says something. Like, it takes a lot to win. And, you know, Jaden Daniels did, I mean, he had three losses. They had three losses. He put up same video game numbers, but they had three losses. And, you know, we talk about, like, think about the NFL MVP award. That's a quarterback award.
Yep.
It's a quarterback award for the, you know, the best quarterback that leads their team to like more wins than anybody else. Or,
Yeah.
you know,
I wish a guy
it's like
like
a,
McCaffrey would get more of a look this year. Like you
yeah,
said,
and
it's the
I
quarterback award.
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I think you should, but it's just not the way that the league is structured. And it's kind of the same thing with the Heisman without the wins, especially this year. Like without the wins, it was like, okay, Jayden Daniels over Michael Penix. Michael Penix might have been hurt that last 3 weeks, and he still willed his team to wins. You know, tough conditions against Oregon State. It was like rain the whole game. And they were just able to find a way.
Yep.
You know, he has 46, just over 4,600 passing yards this year, 35 touchdowns. He's only thrown 9 interceptions, which is a lit like one more than last year, with an extra game in under his belt. 85.7 QBR rating, which is sixth among quarterbacks. But again, they've had some success running the ball this year. Haven't had to rely a ton. He's put up insane numbers, don't get me wrong. But they've also been able to ice games with their leg, with running the ball. And I just think he's put together, and then like you put that with the wins, I think he had the case for the Heisman. I think again it's a swing and a miss, and maybe if you push that back until the end, then you know, and Daniels, somebody like Daniels opts out of his bowl game, like they don't make the
Right. You can kind of get penalized for that. The only other
right.
person that I would have in this conversation is a Jordan Travis. You know, I mean, I
Right.
think when the committee decides not to put Florida State in as a team, basically the main reason was because he was out. I think that shows his value. Now it's the Heisman Award, it's not the MVP award. So it's tough, man. Maybe you have a separate postseason, like they create a new award next year. Because the other thing about the 12-team playoff is because of the format, you're going to have teams that could play four postseason games, not even including their conference championship. You could have, hypothetically, next year, Howie, a Washington-Michigan Big Ten championship. Loser is going to have to play in the first round. And let's say they go all the way, even if they lose in the championship, that's five postseason games. Including the conference championship game. I mean, that's wild, dude. Like, that's like
Yeah.
another half of a season when you think about the college schedule. Like a 12 game regular season schedule, 5 games, that's crazy. So maybe they have to add a new award, like the postseason MVP or something, but it's going to be fun. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Any parting thoughts where you're like, dude, this is either a threat to the future of the game or a question I have, or like, this is something I'm really excited about. Let's see how this plays out. Any final thoughts?
No, I think honestly, like I've had a conversation with a friend of mine too about this. Like a team like Penn State, for example, right? Who is always going to be, you know, in that top 10, 15, you know, because the only people they lose to is Michigan and Ohio State. Like, I think it could shake up the coaching carousel a little bit for some of these teams, borderline teams. So like, what if Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss doesn't ever win a college football playoff game, but he makes it every year? Like, is that cause for firing? Like James Franklin, who seems to not be able to win that big game for his program. Like, at some point, if you want to get over the hump, like, I don't think James Franklin's your guy. Or like, are teams just content to get in, right? I
Yeah,
guess I don't.
it's a great question, Howie. We could go so much deeper on this. I think me and you should have this conversation another day as well, because we're going to want to have some good off-season content too. James Franklin, you talked about this earlier this year too. Like, if you're Penn State, there's two sides. Like, one, are you like super grateful that he has righted the ship? He has carried you out of this awful Joe Paterno era, and like, nothing's gone, like no blemishes on his name or the program while he's been there, right? He's had to go through that. He had to face some of those like punishments and stuff that he was not a part of. He didn't create. He got them through that. He's got like a great winning percentage, but you're exactly right. He can't win the big games. I think that's how Ohio State fans feel right now too about Ryan Day. They're like, bro,
Yeah.
you don't win against Michigan, and you don't win in the playoffs slash big bowl games. There's something
Right.
to be said about that. Like, and then is it just like, is it unrealistic expectations from fans? Is it like other factors? What is going on? Because you can see that it's gotten to a guy like Ryan Day. Like the fact that he like didn't back up McCord, and like McCord hits the portal and ends up at Syracuse, you're like, bro, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? James Franklin the same way. It's interesting stuff, Howie.
Yeah, I think I looked at Ohio State's schedule for next year, and I think they'll be fine. They got a very favorable schedule next year, especially in the new Big Ten. I think they'll be right back in the same position. Also, depending on what Harbaugh does at Michigan, you know, if they win the national championship this year over Washington, I could see him going to the NFL, which would be like a monkey off the back of Ryan Day, right? Of
Yeah.
like, okay, he's gone. Like Michigan would have to then probably take a step back a little bit as they hire a new head coach. So I imagine that Ohio State would get that first round bye in the college football playoff and probably win the Big Ten next year, just based off of some of those outside factors and then some of the Pac-12 teams. Like Washington will obviously take a step back.
Right.
They're an older team.
Yep, they lose a lot of guys. Yep.
USC like losing their quarterback, like how do they respond? And the other teams coming in weren't particularly like super strong. But you never know. You gotta go out, you know, gotta go out west at least once. And how do they travel out west? We'll see. But I
It's gonna
think
be
Ryan
fun.
Day is gonna get saved a little bit next year.
I
So
think so too. And you know, another interesting thing about you bring up James Franklin and Lane Kiffin. James Franklin's been doing it a lot longer. Lane Kiffin's newer to Ole Miss, but those are two good examples of programs that just can't beat the Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio States, the powers at B.
yeah.
What's interesting too is there are some new teams behind them, like some coaches that you and I have talked about that are like, dude, they're gonna, I believe in them. I think they're gonna build something special. A Luke Fickell at Wisconsin, a Matt Rhule at Nebraska, a Mike Elko at Texas A&M. Like, these dudes are right behind you, bro. And like, not only are they coming up from behind you, Washington and Oregon are here. Hey, Texas and Oklahoma are here. So like,
Yep.
you're not just that number three guarantee anymore. You could even go down a little. So it's gonna be fun. It'll be fun to watch it all play out. I think we're in store for an awesome year next year. If anything, the regular season is gonna be even more epic, which is gonna be so fun.
Absolutely. And watch out for them Hoosiers.
Come on, Howie.
Co
Any last
Coach
words on the
Cignetti,
Hoosiers?
baby.
You're all in?
All in. Give me it. All in.
How about your boy Tom Allen, DC at Penn State now?
Yeah, that scares me. I think you'll see Penn State's defense take a step up. I knew it from the start. I said somebody's gonna hire him as defense coordinator. He's a great coach. Great coach. He just was terrible at running the program. And it kind of showed. Just in the way that IU played and carried themselves, the program was just not ran right. But he is a fantastic defensive mind, and it might be what Penn State needs to get over the hump against some of those teams. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Did you know how this is actually hilarious? Did you know Penn State had the number one offense as far as scoring per game in the Big Ten this year?
That's wild.
You believe that, dude?
That's wild.
That is crazy to me.
It
So I think it's wide
did
open.
not travel to Atlanta against Ole Miss, though.
I
Did not.
know, I know. I felt like that was the best game for like two teams that like, hey, both their quarterbacks played. Most guys are coming back next year. The Missouri Ohio State game was like a lot of those guys are in the portal at Ohio State. You know,
Yeah.
and their quarterback gets hurt early, so they're down to quarterback three. I don't knock Ohio State on that. I think the Ole Miss versus Penn State game was a truer picture of like where those two programs are at. So
Yeah, I would agree with that as well.
cool. Howie, as always, man, thanks for having you on. We'll have you on again soon. We'll have some fun off-season episodes, but congrats again on your Washington call, your Pennix call, DeBoer. Howie, you're the man. Any prediction for the Natty?
I would, as much as I've rode Washington all the way here, I think Michigan up front, their front seven on defense, their offensive line. That defensive line pressured Milroe constantly, and it was with just basic, twists and loops. They didn't really bring too many extra guys. I don't know how Washington handles that. Plus, with the addition of Washington's running back going down there late at the end of that game,
That was
it's
tough
going to
to
take a
see.
lot. It's going to take a lot, but I think it'll be close. But I see Michigan pulling it out.
All right. All right. Hey, I give you credit, man. You stuck with them all year, but you're a realist and you go, I think Michigan's taking it. Howie, always a pleasure. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, Liner.
See you, man.